Diamond and Dawn, Amber and Dusk, Book 2. Written by Lyra Celine and read by Imogen Sage. The moon had not risen on the Amber Empire for a thousand tides, but that didn't mean my people never craved luster or spectacle. A crowd of silent people lingered in the Marché Cuirass, mere steps from the orphanage I'd planned to visit. Sunlight, raw as uncut ambric, sent their shadows sliding along the uneven cobblestones and turned their eyes to mirror glass. They'd heard I was coming. I saw wilted paper sunbursts chased with cambric leaf hung from painted sticks. I also saw a few sharp-nosed masks, red as blood, perched jaunty on children's heads or shoved in back pockets. I saw hard mouths and bruised eyes. I saw fear. I did not see any smiles. I swung out of my carass, stepping into the ruddy light and fighting unease. In the nearly two spans since defeating Severine, I'd spent barely any time in the city. The first span had been a chaos of fleeing the sky-clad army, marshalling aid from Belsire, and recapturing a city on the brink of revolution. And in recent weeks, I'd barely left Kurdor, patching a broken government, demilitarizing a vast army, and planning a coronation left me little time for jaunts through my seething capital. But strange whispers had begun to reach the palais, and I knew it was time for me to walk among my people, even if I was not yet Amber Empress. A platoon of Belsire's formidable soldats moved to flank me as I approached the staring crowd, their jet-black uniforms darker than the clouds above the Midnight Dominion. Even after a span serving as my honor guard, the Loup-Garou, the werewolf, still made me nervous. Their booted feet stepped in unison, echoing the hollows between my heartbeats. I almost turned toward them in the dusk, to search their pale, impassive faces for a sharp half-smile, to seek out a pair of green eyes among their matching emerald signets, to find a trace of familiarity in all this strangeness. I didn't turn. I clutched the fabric of my golden skirts and looked into the faces of my people, savoring the edge of my own power reflecting in their eyes. A flare of pleasure burst along my spine when I remembered. I was their dauphine. I was their son heir. I sank to my knees before a little girl hiding in her mother's ragged skirts. She must have been about 7, although her small size made her look younger. Hunger etched out her jaw and chiseled her ribs. I could see them jutting through the thin material of her worn frock. She was clutching one of the sunburst kites, handmade, cut from cheap parchment and painted in garish shades of yellow and orange. "Hello?" My voice came out too soft. I cleared my throat. "What's your name?" She nestled deeper into her mother's skirts, mute. I bit my lip and tried to see myself how she must see me. A girl, a woman, not much younger than her mother, gowned in a magnificent dress of cambric and cream, designed to catch the light and amplify it. A woman with ambric gilt dusted around her cheeks and along her collarbone. A woman who was to be her empress. "My name is Mirage," I leaned closer, conspiratorial. Although, once upon a time, my name was Sylvie. Something flickered in her eyes, then disappeared. An idea coaxed the edge of my mind. I smiled, held out a hand, and made the little girl see something that wasn't there. A ball of flame appeared, blazing red as our static sun. Light poured between my fingertips, splashing the cobbles with cambric and gowning the little girl in radiance. She gasped, her eyes glazing with awe. Her mother's face softened. The crowd inhaled and leaned a little closer.